Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So, as I mentioned earlier on, I'm kind of, it's really one of those things where I know I need to deliver this message. You know, if you've been here before, if you've been to Oceans before, you know how I am. I really... My goal is to point you to God always and to get you to, you know, desire to just become more intimate with Him and to get to know Him and to have an awesome relationship with Him, because that's what it's all about. Amen. God is so good to us and He's been really faithful and you know, I mean, I don't even like to say faithful, because how can you even say He's faithful? He's beyond faithful. Amen. He's really good to us. So just really, really thankful. And, you know, I want to this morning talk about something I think is extremely important right now in the realm of the spirit. And in order for me to explain this, and I kind of tried to articulate it in the first service, hopefully I'll do a better job now. You know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to the enemy and the enemy, the way he operates, primarily the enemy operates with legal right. So wherever the enemy has the right to operate, that's where he operates. Now, in a person's life, if there's sin in your life and you're saved, that sin gives the enemy an opportunity to operate in that area in your life and can cause certain calamities, etc. When you sin, sin leads to death. So we are under the blood. We are forgiven. When we repent, the enemy can do nothing. We are the enemy can accuse, but nothing will happen. Amen. But the fact of the matter is when you are allowing something that's not supposed to be in your life there, it gives the enemy legal ground. Now, what we need to understand is that it works no differently in a nation, in a city. The enemy works the same way. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we understand that the battle that we have, not only our own spiritual battle, but also our battle for our city, for our nation, is not one that is actually in the flesh, but one that is in the spirit. But in order for these principalities, these hosts, these spirits to have legal ground to operate in a nation, they must have legal ground to be able to operate. In our nation, this nation was established with some very good high standards and morals. Our dollar bill, our money says, "In God we trust." And the foundation was pretty solid in comparison to many nations. I really believe that's one of the reasons why the United States has been such a blessed nation. Now, for those of you that may not know me, or if you're new here, I am from Africa. The dark continent. Amen. Let me tell you something. I've traveled the world, and I can tell you right now, guys, that we are right now in the most amazing, most blessed, most wonderful country in the world, I can assure you. You do not know how blessed you are to be in this nation. I'm going to say some things this morning. I just can feel in the spirit there are a couple of people here that are going to be very upset with what I'm going to say. But that's okay. I still love you. Please still love me. Amen. Okay, but I have to be honest with you. Is that okay? So I'm going to start by doing this so that you can understand that I'm being completely neutral and I'm looking at it from a godly, biblical point of view and not a political point of view. Understand that things started going wrong in this nation, not from necessarily the Obama administration, but even from before that. You know, as soon as they take God out of the schools, we've got a problem. Come on, guys, we've got a problem. Hello? Okay, when you know, all of a sudden now it's, you know, I mean, a few years ago, not too many years ago, actually, I remember seeing a book that was written by the Satanic Church that now was available in the schools. No, I have a problem with that. Okay, I have a big problem with that. Now, you must understand, once the authorities of a nation allow idols, idol worship, evil, the things that are wrong to take place or to rule in a nation, immediately then the enemy now begins to have a legal right in our nation. Amen. So let's rewind or fast forward all the way to right now. There's nothing we can do about the past. We can only do something about the present. Amen. And we are right now where we are. We have a leader in the White House. Some people can't stand him. Some people love him. Some people think he's from the devil. Some people think he's from God. The fact of the matter is that as the church, it's our responsibility to pray for that leader. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you don't like the leader of this nation, that's your right to not like him. But as a Christian, it's your responsibility to pray for him. Amen. If I don't like this leader or the previous leader or the leader before that, as the church, we pray. Those of you that have been here, were here in the previous administration, in this church, we prayed every single time, every single prayer meeting. We lifted up President Obama. We lifted up his family. We lifted up the team around him. We asked God to use him. We asked God to speak to him. Constantly, we have to, we must. Amen. That's what the church is called to do. So we will do that regardless of who's in power. Now, when someone is in power, they will do things that you and I will not like. Amen. But what we always look for is, what is the spirit operating? What is the spirit operating, and what is God busy doing? And I believe right now God is busy doing some stuff in our White House, whether we like it or not. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. But let me now come back to where we are right now. I don't talk about politics in church. I don't want to do that. Amen. But I must, because God is speaking. Amen. There are two big storms that came. It's very interesting that both storms caused the major havoc and really hit the ground on Sunday mornings, when we're all supposed to be in church. Harvey and Irma. And if you study in the Hebrew what they mean, they're both actually, they speak of, it basically comes down to really what they are is spirits that have been sent for to cause major destruction. But how many of you know our God is a merciful God? Okay. If you don't think that God's involved with everything, you're wrong. He is involved with everything. God is sovereign. He has the last say. But when legal ground has been given, then legal ground has been given. Then the enemy operates. Okay. So, let us go to the Word. Now, the problem is and has become in the church that the church has started to adapt much of what the world calls the standard. And that is a big problem. Let's take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 39. He said this, "He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake," everybody say my sake, will find it. Now the word lose it here in the Greek, what it means is it means destroy, perish, utterly destroy, or will waste. So in other words, he who finds his life, his own way, his ideas, his passion, what he wants, actually, if you do that and you find your life and you think that in yourself you can do it, actually what's happening is you're busy being destroyed. You are busy perishing. You are utterly destroyed, and you will end up going to waste. How many of you, that's the truth? I mean, you know, if you don't give your life to Jesus, whether you believe it or not, the fact is you're going to heaven or hell. There is no other way. But through Jesus, there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus, not Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, whoever. There is no other way. So unless you lose your life, unless you lose your life, you will not find your true life. The big problem right now in this nation, very strong in this nation, is a thing called human rights. Oh, you know, it's my right. Oh, you know, Pastor, I have the right to do that. I saw on CNN, sorry. I saw on CNN, I saw this person being interviewed, and the person was talking about the hurricane, and the hurricane was about to hit Miami, or I don't know if it was the Keys, but it was an area where they were so staunch. Please take your families out. And the government is begging, we'll help you. And I see this guy go on TV, and this is what he says. It's my right to stay with my family, and I'll keep my kids, and it's my right, and I'm not going to protect them. This is a spirit, people. This is a spirit that's operating in our nation. Because we've allowed it, all of a sudden the White House, God was removed. Now we can pray to anyone in the White House. Are you kidding me? It's my right. No, it's not your right. That's God's right. If you don't lose your life, you will not be able to find your life. Now let's take a look at it. Are you guys all okay? Just remember, this is, it's different today. Amen. I'm normally very nice. Amen. Amen. All right. So he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The word find there in the Greek is actually very powerful. That means that they will discover their life. They will come upon their life. They will begin to experience their life in Christ. So in other words, when we lose our life for him, for his sake, in other words, I don't want to do it my way. I don't want it to be my rights. I don't want to do what this says or what that says. Or, you know, if they say abortion is okay, that's okay. No, it's not okay. If it's bad, it's bad. Finished. If it's evil, it's evil. Finished. Doesn't matter politically who's involved. What does God say? Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Now, let me show you. Okay. Let's go to Genesis 2, verse number 16. I want to show you something. The world is busy moving. Things are happening quickly, guys, right now. Evil is becoming so prevalent in the planet, not only in the planet, but here in our nation. Like I say, you watch that channel, CNN or whatever, and you see interviews where they speak. Well, he's not my president. And they speak with such hatred, such malice, such evil. Listen, I have cast out many demons, and I know one when I see one. And that is demonic. That is a spirit of anarchy. In other words, there will be no unity in this nation. In other words, we will not submit. We will do it our way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to what this government says. Who is this guy? He's so bad. And the worst of it is that the guys that are criticizing the most are the biggest devils themselves. It is what it is. It's the truth. Amen. Okay, now, let's go take a look. Amen. Genesis 3, verse 1, number 1. Okay. No, Genesis 2, 16. Sorry, my mistake. Genesis 2, 16. I apologize for making you go back and forth. Okay. Okay. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The word knowledge in the Hebrew actually means discernment or understanding. So in other words, if you eat of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, what's actually happening is that you will now be able to discern or understand the difference between good and evil. So in other words, Adam and Eve up until that time didn't know the difference between good and evil. All they knew was what God told them. And God said, Adam, prophesy or speak to this animal. What is it? And he would speak, and it would be, and it would be, it was amazing the things that were taking place. The relationship between man and God at that stage was what we want. Amen. So they're in the garden, and all of a sudden God says, listen, you can do everything, but don't do this, because if you do this, it's going to be harmful for you. You're going to know something that you really don't need to do. You don't need to know. Amen. So Genesis 3 verses 1 to 5. Let's see what happens. Now the serpent was more cunning than every beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now watch this. Genesis 3:22. Adam and Eve then do what they're not supposed to do, and they eat from the tree of good knowledge of good and evil. Now watch what God says. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." So in other words, the devil told the truth. He's a liar, but he also told the truth in part. What man didn't realize that he was already like God. The only thing is he didn't know the difference between good and evil. Now, here's the interesting thing, is we say, oh, Adam and Eve sinned. How could Adam and Eve sin? They didn't know the difference. They didn't know what was evil. They didn't know what was good. But here's the problem. Adam and Eve did not listen to what God told them to do. It has nothing to do with good and evil. It is listening to what God says. If God says it's bad, it's bad. If God says it's good, it's good. It doesn't matter whether there's the law or there's no law. It doesn't matter whether it's like this or it's like that. It's what God says, and that's what matters. And if Adam and Eve had just listened to what God had said, they would have been fine. So sin then enters at that moment, and at that point they know the difference between good and evil. How many of you know, sitting here, if you go and you sit with drug addicts, they're heavy, like they're in a drug den, you don't need to go tell them they're bad. They know. You don't have to tell them they're ruining their life. They already know. When you do something wrong, before you were saved, after you were saved, did you know? You knew. You know the difference between good and evil in your heart. You really know. Amen. Amen. The problem is not necessarily the sin. The problem comes from being obedient. The word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And where man has lost it is we want to do it our way. Oh, well, let's just make everybody happy and just let's just do what everybody, free worship and free this. And listen, we can have abortions and we can just kill life and we can just do what we want and then just let the devil out, man. And the church has become so evil. So much of the church, now we allow homosexual preachers. We accept that as it's okay. No, it's not. It's sin, guys. Sin. Do you like it when a preacher's sleeping around and is he allowed to be on the pulpit? Well, neither is someone who's homosexual allowed to be on the pulpit. Does that mean we don't love the homosexual? Of course we love the homosexual. Of course we love them. We love them. They're welcome here. We will embrace them and we'll help them get delivered. Amen. But that doesn't mean that now it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to do things that are evil. It's not okay. It's wrong. It's not a question of being under the law, in the law. It's a question of being obedient to God. What's happened to the church? We've accepted it. And now, let me show you what happens. So now you want to understand why it is. Have you ever seen a generation that now they get born and they say, oh, I was born homosexual. It's because of the spirits that have been given access. It's the principalities that have been given right. Now abortion is okay. Okay, now we can all have abortion or whatever the government allows. It's unacceptable. Now that I've all got your attention, let's go quickly to Isaiah 5, verse number 20. Isaiah 5, verse number 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who call evil good. It's our responsibility. If you're a Christian, it's your responsibility to call what is evil, evil, regardless of your political status. Otherwise, woe to you. How can you side with abortion. Come on, church. It's murder. Now, if you've had an abortion before you were saved, please, God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen. What I did before I was saved, I don't even want to talk about. Amen. But by grace, I'm saved. But now I'm saved. I know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And I will not call what's evil good. Can you say amen? And it is our job to stand up as the church. And God is speaking very loudly right now. And it's time for no more compromise in the church. Whether we're under grace or whether the law, we carry on about this hyper grace and all this stuff. And listen, that's not what it's about. The fact is that there's only one way to Christ. There's only one way to God. And that is through Jesus. And we are made righteous by Jesus. Can you say amen? There is no other way. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean it's okay to live how you want. It doesn't mean it's okay. Yes, I understand. We all fall short. Hello, I fall short too. But my heart desires to seek after God. My heart always longs for God. That's why David was a man after God's heart, because he was bad. But he knew how to repent. Now they teach you don't need to repent anymore. Because you're saved. Once saved, always saved. Once you give your life to Him, the repentance is there. Past, present, future. Come on, guys. No. Go read your Bible. It is time for the church to stand up. God wants a holy church. God wants a holy bride. Now, the only way we holy is in Him. We make mistakes. But it's when you recognize that there's no other way but except through Him. There's no other way but except through Him. Now listen, that looks a lot more than just saying, I give my life to you. Hallelujah, amen. And then you carry on living. No, 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 no. You have to make Him the Lord of your life. In other words, you have to lose your life in order to find it. Can you say amen? All right. Okay, now watch. Watch this. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. But know this, that in the last days, and I'm telling you, I don't know how long it is, but we are in a season that is pretty close. I can tell you right now, the signs of the times are like never before. And God is speaking very clearly. Now watch this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Me, myself, and I, my rights, my ways, I'll do it my way. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, watch this one, disobedient to parents. I want to stop right there, because I remember when I was a child that there was a thing called obedience to your parents. What on earth happened in one generation? Nowadays, kids call their parents by their name. There's no respect, there's no honor. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Rights, my right. Now you can pick up the phone and call child line or whatever line when you're 3 years, 5 years old and say, listen, my dad shouted at me. Come on, man. Yo, I'll tell my child, you phone him, come here, I'll give you such a spanking. And then let's spank them and then you call them. First I spank you, then you call them. Oh, but I can't spank my child. Go read your Bible, man. In Proverbs, it says that you must spank your child. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, no wonder. No wonder. No wonder your child doesn't understand authority. No wonder they have no respect for you. Go read what it says. It says you'll cause the death of them, man. We have to obey what God says, not what we say, not what we feel, not what we like. Listen, I'm not talking about abuse. There's a big difference, guys. I'll never forget. I was in Stuart, and we were at the playground, and they were doing tug of war at the Spirit Day sport thing, whatever they call it. And they're busy going, my daughter doesn't listen to me. And I said to her, listen, I'm warning you. In front of everybody, I grabbed her. Whack. Everybody stopped had a look at what on earth am I doing in front of everyone. Listen, it hurts me to spank my child. But it will hurt me more to watch her grow into a person that the enemy wants her to be, which has no respect, no honor, no. And look at the world. Look at what's going on. I have never seen after an election, people carry on the way they are right now. I have never seen it, the way they carry on. It's not my president. He's not my president. And he, what are you talking about? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, he's in authority. He's your president. You pray for him. It's your job to pray for him. Let me tell you something about this president that we all don't like so much. This president is praying twice a week in the White House. This president is starting to do some things that Demon NN doesn't want you to see. They don't want you to see what's busy going on. Let me tell you something. These storms that have come, but let me tell you that God's mercy has prevailed. Yes, there's been destruction. Yes, there's been things that have taken place, but you watch out of the midst of these storms how the church is going to rise up, because it is time for the church to no longer call those things that are evil good. We will not call those things that are evil good any longer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Behave. Disobedient to parents. Now watch. Unthankful. Unholy. But we don't have to be holy anymore. Once we give our lives to Jesus, we can live how we like. That's what you believe. Are you kidding me? When did God change from being a holy God? When did God change? Please, somebody show me the scripture where he said, listen, now all you have to do is give your life to Jesus, live how you want, and it's great with me. No, we are required to live holy. We are required to serve him. We are required to give our lives to him. Yes, of course, go about your business. Do it with excellence. In everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. I don't expect you to be a robot. I expect you to serve and be effective. In other words, if you're a doctor, be the best doctor. If you're a lawyer, be the best lawyer. But show the heart of God everywhere you go. Look for opportunities to preach the gospel. Make a difference. But those things that are evil, do not call them good, because they are not good. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of the good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Isn't that the truth? Doesn't it sound like this generation? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. There we go. There the church doesn't want the power anymore. No. It's grace everywhere. And listen, I love grace. I mean, if you've been in this church, you'll know. I've preached about grace. I love grace. Thank God for grace. I'd be dead. Okay? That's the truth. But I don't make the blood of Jesus a common thing. It is not a common thing. It is a price that was paid that was very valuable. Because of that blood, when I mess up, I can go to him and say, Father, I messed up again. Please forgive me. And he does. And I don't have to beat myself up and then think, now I've got to start from the beginning again. I get up, I keep going, I keep marching. And like Paul said, I do those things I don't want to do, those things I don't want to do, I do. But he also said, I'm going to finish the race strong. He also said, I'm going to make it to the end. Come on. Oh, but you know, Paul said that, what are you talking about? They take the scriptures and they twist the scriptures so that it can be comfortable. The only place I find comfort is in his presence. The only way into his presence is to spend time with him. I don't know any other way, do you? Well, you can have impartation. Good luck with that. It might equip you, but it will never change you. Because you only get changed face to face. You only get changed on the inside when you are face to face with Him. When you're on your knees, when you're in His presence, when you're worshiping Him, when you're spending time with Him. Only then does things begin to change inside you. When you open the Word and the Holy Spirit's been with you and you've been spending time with Him and you begin to read and it begins to transform you. Only then do we really change. Can you say amen, guys? Amen. Jeez, we can't get through this passage. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. How can the church have no power? The church must have power. Listen, you may be the only thing the world knows when it comes to Jesus. They're looking for a Jesus in you. They're looking for someone who can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They're looking for someone who will have compassion and stop what they're doing to lay hands and just embrace and just comfort. You may be the only Jesus that they will ever see. And the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe. If you're a real believer, if you've given your life to Him, if you've lost your life to be with Him, then these signs will follow you. You know what? You know the scripture. I don't have to give it to you. Amen. I've said it so many times. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover, cast out demons, all that stuff. Amen. Man, we need the power in the church badly. But we need to also demonstrate His love. And we need to call those things that are not good, evil. Amen. All right, let me try and get finished. Amen. Are you guys still okay? Now it says, and from such people, turn away. Turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households, in other words, into the church, and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Interesting. Disapproved, disqualified, in other words. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you, now they're speaking to us, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, in other words, the way I live, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Now watch. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. In other words, listen, follow my example and watch what happened to me. It wasn't always great. I was persecuted. I was struck. Listen, they say that Paul was unrecognizable. He was so badly beaten, but he carried on. And his attitude is, listen, I'm still here. God got me through it. If you call those things that are evil, evil, you will not be popular. Because it's not what the world wants. We want human rights. Like Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. That's what we want. I want to do it my way. And the way they manifest, man, they manifest. They manifest on TV. I've never seen anything. I wish I could go, come out of her. Come out of her, you foul spirit. Because it is, it's a demonic spirit, man. I have seen them, I know. It's so evil. All right, verse number 11. The Lord delivered me. Verse number 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In other words, you will not be popular. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now watch this. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We don't want correction anymore. We don't want reproof anymore. Well, you know, I don't really agree with that. It doesn't, you know, doesn't really suit my lifestyle. I want to live that way. But I want to serve God, but I want to do it that way. And, you know, I want to have 10 boyfriends or whatever. I don't know. But the fact is that what is evil, guys. And the church must wake up. And I'm not criticizing a denomination, because let me tell you, we are all falling short. Doesn't matter where you come from, Catholic, Charismatic, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, doesn't matter. But fact of the matter is, who is going to stand up in this hour right now and say, enough is enough is enough? Amen. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In this hour, authority and order are things that have just gone out the window. Yes, Moses brought in the law. But the fact of the matter is that man knows the difference between good and evil already. When the law came, yes, I know that. I agree that the law made us more sin conscious. And Jesus came to fulfill the law. Not to do away, not to demolish the law, but to fulfill it. So that in order for us to be holy, the only way is to go through Him. Can you say amen? Because our righteousness is like filthy rags. But don't forget, the Bible says that you must still seek righteousness. So in other words, yes, we are made righteous, but that doesn't mean that we stop seeking righteousness. Can you say amen, guys? So we seek to serve Him. Why do you want to do that? Because I love Him. And if I love Him, I want to please Him. If I want to be in His presence, listen, in the Old Testament, if something wasn't holy that got near that holy place, boy, it died. Have you ever wondered why God appeared to Moses as a burning bush, as a fire? Because Moses wasn't holy. What does the fire do? It burns out the junk in you. So when God appeared, He couldn't appear all nice. He appeared as a fire, because that's the only way Moses could stand in front of Him. The fire comes to clean. The fire comes to take it out. But it's time that we start making the right choices, living right, making the right choices. This church is a no compromise church. We will not compromise. Can you say amen? And listen, when it comes to this nation, we pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We pray for our government, whether we like it or not, so that God can move in our government. I want a window. I just need a window. We just need a window where the church can rise up and we can have a move of God before He comes. How many of you want to see a move of God's Spirit once again? How many of you want revival in this land? If you want revival, it's time for us to go back to seeking His face. It is time for us to go back to seeking holiness. It is time for us to call those things that are evil, evil, and those things that are good, good, not the other way around. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Father, this morning in this place, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. And Father, this morning we pray for our nation. We stand this morning in one accord as your church. Father, we cannot do anything about the past except repent, regardless of which administration it was, whether it be 10 administrations ago or the last administration. We ask, Father, whatever our administration, our leadership has done that is unrighteous, we ask for forgiveness this morning in this place, in Jesus' name. Now we lift up our president to you, in Jesus' name, and we ask, Father, that you would equip him, that you would empower him, Father, that you would encounter him in the name of Jesus, and Father, that he would be one whose heart would be in your hand, that he would seek the voice of the Lord and know what to do concerning this nation. And Father, I pray that in the midst of this, as you begin to restore those things that have been called good, that are evil, will now no longer be called good, but will be called what they are, and that is evil, that in this hour your church will rise up and there will be a move of your spirit in this nation once again, and we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Somebody shout in this place, come on, hallelujah! Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We know we fall short all the time, but we also know that you are a good Father, a loving Father that we can go to whenever we do make a mistake. And you are good and Father like a loving Father is, and willing to forgive and pick us up and say, let's keep going. Let's finish the race. Let's finish strong. And so all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,
amen. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.